seen in my life. Jahangir Guest House is one of the few places that you can have a unique experience of meeting local elders, hear their stories, and learn about their experiences.
One of the benefits of staying at local guest houses is to have a chance to have this first-hand experience of seeing local handicrafts being made. You see the whole process, and you have a chance to see the craftsman who's behind this precious product, behind making this precious product. And I really enjoy interacting with people, talking to them, and of course learning from them.
One thing is to hear or imagine how life was back in the old days, especially inside these gorgeous traditional guest houses. Another thing is to live the life of those people and those days. It might be some very simple acts or even sometimes symbolic, but they definitely worth the try. It feels amazing. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this episode of Let's Recite the Quran, dear listeners. My name is Muhammad, and with me today we only have two brothers in the studio, Brother Hassan and Brother Masoom. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Alaikum salam.
How are you doing today? Energetic? A happy day for the Quran. Yeah?
Yes.
Dear listeners, we have now completed, up until this episode, Alhamdulillah, we have completed the recitation of verses 1 through 9 of Suratul Jinn, chapter number 72 of this noble Quran. However, in this episode, inshallah, we will be continuing the recitation of this same chapter from verse number 10 of this chapter. Brother Hassan, I'll kindly ask you to please take the honors of reciting verse number 10 of Suratul Jinn. Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa anna la nadri asharrun urida biman fil ardi am arada bihim rabbuhum rashada.
Ahsantum, a very beautiful and confident recitation. Now, let's go for some of the points regarding this verse, tajweedi points. The first one is the ghunna on the wa'anna, right? This ghunna, we apply ghunna again, by the way, dear listeners. Ghunna is a nasal sound and a very small stretch, up to two counts. Wa'anna, correct? Whenever we have noon with a tashdeed, we apply ghunna on that noon. وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي نَدْرِي. Now this is another ruling called قَلْقَلَ, and we did mention this quite a few times in the previous episodes as well. نَدْرِي, whenever we have قُطُب جَد, the letters قُطُب جَد, قَاف, طَا, بَا, جِيم, and دَال, any of these letters when they have سُكُون on them, when they're ساكن, we apply the ruling of Qalqala. The ruling of Qalqala basically says that whenever we have any of these letters and they're sakin and they have sukoon, we echo them instead of giving just a flat ending or a flat sukoon to them. Originally, it would have been La Nadri, right? However, after applying the ruling of Qalqala, we say La Nadri, Nadri, Nadri. You see the difference? At the end of this Nadri, we have a Mad. Brother Hassan, can you explain to us what kind of a Mad is this? And how many stretches should we apply for to this Mad?
This is a wajib mad?
This is not a wajib mad.
Oh yes, because the hamza is separate from it.
Exactly, so the hamza that comes afterwards is actually a hamza that is for the beginning of the next word. It's not in the same word, right? So this is ja'iz munfasil.
Yes.
Now this ja'iz means how many counts are we allowed to recite? How many counts or how many beats are we allowed to stretch this mad?
Two or four counts.
Two. Or?
Four counts.
Two, four, or even six. It's
yes,
up to you.
Yes.
But consistency is important. Make sure that whenever you find ja'iz munfasil, if you have decided to apply two counts for all the other ja'iz munfasil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you're applying four counts, do the same for all the other ja'iz munfasil. And if you're applying six counts, do it for all the others. Although being inconsistent is not illegal per se, right? You won't be scolded for it. It's not a sin, but being consistent makes your recitation much better. The reader will be able to understand where you're doing ja'iz munfasil and where you're doing wajib muttasil. Correct? وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْنِي أَشَرٌ. Okay? This ra is... should be recited with tafkheem because there is a dhamma or tadmeen dhamma on top of ra, right? Whenever ra comes with fatha or dhamma, it should be recited with tafkheem. Tafkheem basically means a rounded mouth and a heavy voice. Asharun, asharun, right? Urida biman fil ard. Brother Hassan, can you tell me why I recited biman fil ard instead of biman fil ard?
You applied the rule ikhfa on the noon.
The ruling of ikhfa on the noon at the end of biman, correct?
Yes.
So we have a noon followed by the letter fa in this case. Whenever we have a noon sakin or tanween, which actually in reality tanween is also a noon sakin at the end of it, right? And then followed by any of the tongue or mouth letters, for example, in this case, fa. Fa is one of the tongue letters or the mouth letters, right? Biman fil ardi. We apply the ruling of ikhfa. Ikhfa basically means hiding the sound of noon, silencing the sound of noon, and applying ghunna. Ghunna, again, as we said at the beginning of this verse, it is a nasal sound and a small stretch up to two counts. So in this case, also keep in mind, a ruling of thumb is that for ikhfa, you prepare for the recitation of the coming letter. You prepare your mouth for the recitation. Although the listeners, the dear listeners of this episode, won't be able to see my mouth, but the brothers can attest and bear witness to how I'm doing it, right? Look up my lip, the bottom lip. I'm preparing for the recitation of fa. Liman fil ardi. You see that?
Yes.
Right? You apply the ghunna with ikhfa. بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. Keep in mind, all the ras that we recited so far are tafkhim ras, because all of them either have a fatha on them or a fatha before them. Whenever we have ra, either we have a fatha or dhamma on top of them, we apply tafkhim. If it's kasra, we apply tarqiq. If it's sukun now, we look at the harakat or the vowel before that ra, which is sakin, right? We look at the harakat before it. If it's fatha or dhamma, again, the ra becomes tafkhim.
Mm-hmm.
If it is kasra, it is tarqiq. Okay? Again, tafkhim and tarqiq, the difference is that tafkhim, you round your mouth and you give a heavy voice, and tarqiq, you flatten your mouth, you put a smile on your face, you flatten your mouth, and you give a flat and default recitation and the pronunciation of that letter. Alright, so we have given a lot of time to verse number 10 of this chapter.
And we do not know, therefore, whether evil is intended for those on earth, or whether their Lord intends for them a right course.
قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
آيات الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
I'll ask Brother Masoom to please take the honor of reciting verse number 11 of chapter number 72, Suratul Jinn of the Noble Quran. Brother Masoom?
Yes.
وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدًا.
أحسنتم. A very beautiful recitation. Again, the ghunna on the anna minna, just like the previous verse, right? Or the verse before that, I'm sorry, verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نون المشدة, right? Likewise, in the verse number 11, we have وَأَنَّا مِنَّا. We apply غُنَّة for both the noon that have shadda on them. الصالحون. First of all, حروف الشمس, we don't say الصالحون. It's الصالحون. And then we have تفخيم of صاد, right? Rounded mouth and heavy voice. وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ. Correct? And then again, غُنَّة in the وَمِنَّ. غُنَّة basically means a nasal sound and a little bit of a stretch, two counts. دُونَ ذَلِك. There is a waqf on ذَلِك. Correct? Right,
yes.
Brother Masoom? What kind of a waqf is this? What kind of a stopping sign is this?
It indicates that we can make a pause, but it's better to continue.
Exactly. Silent. Very good. So in the Uthman Taha text of the Quran, we find Salah, Salam, and Ya, right? At the top, at the end of Thalik, right? Now this basically says that it is better, as you said, Brother Masoom, it's better to continue, but you can stop. This is a place of waqf, you can stop. If you were to stop, it would become وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِك كُنَّا طَرَائِق. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to continue, how would you recite, Brother Masoom?
وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ كُنَّا طَرَائِقُ.
أحسنتم. And the طرائق, keep in mind the ra over here is ra of تفخيم, not طرائق. طرائق. Correct?
وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدًا.
And among us are the righteous, and among us are others not so. We were of divided ways.
All right, so let's recite verses number 10 and 11 of this very beautiful chapter together, okay?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشَرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي شر أريد بمن في الأرض أم أراد بهم ربهم رشدا.
وأنا منا الصالحون.
قددا. وأنا منا الصالحون ومنا دون ذلك كنا طرائق قددا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that was the beautiful recitation of verses 10 and 11 of Surah Al-Jinn. We bid you farewell, dear listeners. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة الفرقان. إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
tales full of sadness and woe, but I believe you smile again. You see, I know the pain you're feeling, 'cause I was there just like you'll be outcast. Sometimes it's better to be alone than to be with the bad crowd. Preserve your mind and feed it. Nourish what it is you have inside. Use it in the right way.
good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Iran Radio and interesting facts about Islam. Islam's tradition of oral recitation developed into an efficient vehicle for mass-produced handwritten literature. A single Muslim reciter would read a book out loud to a group of scribes who copied his spoken words simultaneously. Europe, in contrast, used a much slower system. Monks copied books individually and one at a time. Gutenberg's movable type printing press was ill-suited for cursive Arabic and was only slowly adopted by Muslims. However, when lithography was invented in Germany in 1796, which used drawing on stone with ink to produce illustrations, Muslims eagerly adopted this method of printing. It replaced hand copying to make multiple copies of the Holy Quran and Arabic newspapers and books. And now we listen to the continuation of our schedule on Iran Radio. The start of this hour's programs with dialogue. The program looks at the most important conversations between Shia imams and their followers, questioners, and leaders of the other Islamic faith and sects. And our final program this hour will be Youth Station, a program all about young people and dealing with topics related to youth. Stay with us for this hour.
We have to have a very fair assessment of this academic and intellectual icon of early Islam.
His impact is more pronounced in jurisprudence that he formalized.
And tens of thousands of statements and teachings have reached us from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue and I'm your host Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, was an incredibly prominent character in the history of the Muslims. He benefited humankind with his highly scientific achievements, many of which had never been seen before by humanity. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam's instructions in the acts of worship and transactions and his contribution in the field of legislation were amazing achievements that had not occurred before amongst the Muslim masses. And his eminence also had a positive and active share in the establishment of human culture and civilization. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, the son of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, an individual who was divinely appointed by the Almighty Allah, was known to have improved the general public lives of the people and the Muslims, and he was an individual, a divinely appointed Imam, a man from the household of the Holy Prophet, who enhanced human thoughts and discovered many of the secrets of this universe.
Well,
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So what an honor it is to be here speaking about the dialogues of His Eminence, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So we are talking about this interesting dialogue that His Eminence, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, has with one of his companions. Now, overall, we find that in this conversation that occurs, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he encourages learning, and he says that learning is one of the most successful tools in helping an individual grow their thoughts. And so, at one time, you know, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he saw a youth whose cloth was affected by the sign of a pen, and he was hiding this part of his cloth that, you know, had ink on it, and you know, he felt like he was ashamed or embarrassed for this, you know, clot of ink that was upon his clothes. And so Imam Sadiq alayhi salam turns to him and says, "Do not feel disturbed about the effects of the pen and the ink, as they are perfumes for the men and jewels for authors." And then Imam alayhi salam also looked at the youth, and he said to him that the sign of the pen and the ink on one's clothing is the mark of chivalry. So very interesting, you know, these two very beautiful, very powerful statements that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has regarding scholarship and, you know, writing and, I guess, researching and learning and growing our thoughts and, you know, gaining knowledge and spreading knowledge. As many of you know, in that era, people, you know, they didn't really read and write to the extent that people read and write in the present day. You know, even though, yes, scholarship was something that, you know, was growing and it was spreading, and of course it was the divinely appointed imams that were helping to grow and spread the need and the yearning for knowledge, because before them, knowledge, you know, wasn't really such a big deal. We're dealing with, you know, Bedouins and nomads and, you know, people that are desert dwellers. What do they have to do with knowledge and science and research and academia and these kind of things? But the imams, they started to, you know, promote these things, and it started with the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and this yearning for knowledge, this yearning for research and academia and things like this. So by the time we get to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, yes, more people are in this field, but still it is not, you know, something that the common people would really want to get into. So here it's very beautiful that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is encouraging knowledge, learning, and the search for knowledge and the quest for knowledge. This is dialogue Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
Of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. One day, Nu'man ibn Thabit, also known as Abu Hanifa, who was one of the four Sunni imams and the founder of the Hanafi school of thought, came to a barber in Mina to shave his head. The barber said, "Come close to your right, face the Qibla, and say Bismillah." Abu Hanifa learned three qualities from him that he did not have. Abu Hanifa asked him, "Are you a slave or a free man?" He said, "A slave." Abu Hanifa inquired, "For whom?" He replied, "For Ja'far ibn Muhammad, peace be upon him." Abu Hanifa then asked, "Is he present or absent?" And the barber responded, "Present." Subsequently, Abu Hanifa went to the house of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, to meet him and requested permission, but the Imam did not grant it. Abu Hanifa mentioned, "I waited for a while until some people from Kufa came and sought permission to meet him, and upon their request, he allowed them, and I entered the house with them. When I stood in his presence, I said, 'It is appropriate for you to send a representative to Kufa and advise the people there not to speak ill of the companions of Muhammad. Peace be upon him. More than 10,000 people in this city are speaking ill of the Prophet's companions.' The Imam replied, 'The people do not accept me.' Abu Hanifa questioned, 'How can they not accept your words when you are the descendant of the Prophet of Allah?' The Imam responded, 'You yourself are one of those who do not listen to me. You entered the house without my permission. You did not sit down without me asking you, and you did not start speaking without permission. I have heard that you issue fatwas based on analogy.' Abu Hanifa confirmed, 'Yes.' The Imam then expressed his concern, saying, 'Woe to you, the first one who expressed an opinion based on this was Iblis, when Allah commanded him to prostrate to Adam. He refused, saying, "I will not prostrate because you created me from fire and him from clay, and fire is worthier than clay." To invalidate analogy, the Imam provided examples in Islamic laws that contradict this principle and said, "In your opinion, is killing an innocent person greater or committing adultery?" Abu Hanifa replied, "Killing an innocent person." The Imam, peace be upon him, pointed out, "So if acting on analogy is correct, then why is it enough to have two witnesses to prove murder, but four witnesses are required to prove adultery? Does Islamic law agree with analogy?" Abu Hanifa replied, "No." In this way, Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him, proved Abu Hanifa's analogy wrong. Indeed, during his era, no scholar of religion was more knowledgeable than Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him, who imparted great knowledge to the Ummah and taught the true Islam. Some people think that the Jafari school of thought is a sect that emerged from other sects. However, the reality is that the Jafari school of thought is the highest, the most noble, and adheres to the true Islam among all sects, as it follows the teachings of Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to this episode of Youth Station. My name is Muhammad and I am here with Sister...
This is Nahid, having the honor of being with you.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Nahid.
We previously started talking about the throwaway culture, the culture that is pushing many of the young people, mostly young people, towards this idea, this mindset that we can throw everything away once we don't need them. Be it the people, be it the materials, be it whatever around us. And then we came to this idea that not everything can be removed. And not this idea, this whole mindset is going to be considered and blamed as something negative. Mm-hmm. So as for today, let's talk about this this idea, this question, that how can I draw my limitations? I mean, okay, I'm young. I know that this throwaway culture that I see on the social media, that I see with all the people around me, has to be controlled. But my question is how to draw this limitation. Should I just write down and jot down the things that are all around me and the surrounding of myself? Or should I go for a wiser version and start reading books? How can I find my limitations? How can I teach myself and train my mind on this culture? How can I control it?
I think I can start this discussion with a verse from the Quran. Anchor this discussion with this verse, and it's a very shocking verse. It's in chapter 17, Surah Isra of the Quran, verse number 26 and 27. Now, this verse actually is talking about giving to the relatives, وَآتِ ذَا الْقَرْبَ حَقَّهُ, and give the relative his right, and also the poor and the traveler, and so on, وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. And then at the end, it says, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا, and do not spend wastefully. Now, this is something extremely... Why should you talk about spending wastefully in a verse that talks about generosity, that talks about giving?
Yeah.
Even in your generosity, don't be wasteful. And then further, it doesn't stop here. Just it doesn't say don't be wasteful in your spending and that's it. The verse after that is even more shocking. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those who waste, indeed, the wasteful are the brothers of devils. Now, we're talking about generosity here. Those who are wasteful in their generosity, in their giving their rights to others, they're wasteful in that. Now, let alone us being wasteful in things that are not necessarily right for others. It's ours. We have the money. But we're still wasteful in that. We're still doing israf. We're doing tabdhir, according to this verse. This is something really that shocks us, that the Quran doesn't talk about money. It talks about a mindset. That, you know, framework of thinking. Like, when waste becomes a habit, it shapes who we are. When we are wasteful in
even if it's in generosity.
Exactly. Who we are the brothers of Shaitan. We're the brothers of the devil. So this mindset, I can remember, like, I hate people, and this is something that comes from the bottom of my heart. I hate people who see, for example, and this is something that I also have a phobia as well, who... write, for example, half a page and then they have to throw away what they've written. They scrap the entire page and throw it away.
Oh.
Why don't you just tear that small... You know, when I was doing labs for my high school, I can clearly remember my notebook. All of my friends had finished their entire 100-page notebooks writing their labs, but I barely made the 50-page mark.
Because now, you were using it well.
That was not the only case. The thing is, I had more notes than my friends. Like, I could literally count the number of words in my page, and I can easily say they were double. First of all, I was writing very thin and small. Second of all, I would not even spare the borders of this page. This page on the Day of Judgment would be complaining against me as to why the hell did you use so much of me? Even the borders, you do not leave it for myself. That's how keen I was. Not to say that I'm really good at this.
This is how a Muslim has to be. We are recommended to avoid Islam.
Exactly. Not because we have abundance of something means that we should be wasteful.
Yeah.
When we had an abundance of it, we wasted so much, both in terms of agriculture, we had a lot of farmers wasting water in a very bad manner, both in terms of our personal lives. It's a very common thing that we waste because it's so industrialized. You know, I think sometimes we look back in the ages before us, in the eras before us. I think sometimes some of these technological advancements should be undoed, you know, control Z.
Yeah.
We should go back.
In our relationships, in the way we are bonding with people, in every perspective we have to be aware. We have hadith in Islam that is mentioning mending relationships is better than excessive prayer and fasting.
Exactly.
See, mending relationships versus fasting and
now
prayer.
Look at what's being compared here. Praying and fasting, which is some of the most important aspects
the
of one's
religion.
The things
that are the nearest to Allah.
Yes, exactly. And you're comparing that to mending relationships.
Yeah.
Now, repair when repair is possible. That's extremely important. That's the message you're giving from Islam. Islam doesn't say stay in harm, stay in a toxic relationship, but it says that don't cut off people or don't cut off things or don't throw away things just because it's easier, just because you feel more comfortable, convenient. Mend wherever you can, and that is extremely important for us as Gen Zs. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I have wasted a lot myself. I can remember my teacher. I was traveling once with him, and he had his family in the vehicle as well.
Right.
And all of a sudden, one of his daughters, she sneezed, and she wanted a tissue paper from the from my teacher too, because we were in the front and they were at the back and so. So he took out a piece of the tissue paper, and you know how tissues are, right?
Yeah.
They have like two layers glued between them. So what he did, he very delicately while driving, and don't do this, guys. This is not safe for driving. Very delicately, he separated the two layers, and he tore half of it and said, "Don't do Isra." And this really got me. Like, this is, look at how he is thinking. Me personally, when I come out of, for example, bathroom after washing my hands, zook, take out the tissue papers and just, you know, it's so cheap, it's so abundant. Like, you can easily get one. We have like stocks of them at home.
Yeah.
You just get, we buy a bundle of tissue papers and we just stock it. It's so cheap. Like, there's nothing harm in, you know, use. But then look at this guy. Although it's cheap, it's an abundance. My teacher, I really appreciate it, and I really pray for the things he has taught me. May Allah protect him wherever he is.
Inshallah.
He's so keen in how he is using that two layer of tissue paper.
And it doesn't mean that he's not rich enough to buy anything else.
He was wealthy enough to own a home.
Sometimes
to own a vehicle.
Sometimes people feel shy that what if I try to avoid a self and people think, oh my God, she
or the class,
he doesn't have
the
enough
poshness,
money.
Yeah,
exactly. What if they think low of me, or they feel like I'm hurting my own face in the world, in the society? So it is not like this as well. We have the opportunity. People might be even richer than us. But still, they know that as Muslims, they are recommended to keep this idea in mind. Well, let's go for a short break, and then we're going to talk about the other perspectives to this throwaway culture.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
All right, so we're back with the Youth Station, and you're listening to the Youth Station. We're talking about the disposable culture. And I think it's not bad that we touch on the practical takeaways from the episodes that we had so far about the throwaway culture.
Yeah.
How in our day-to-day life are we supposed to draw the line between throwing something and keeping something? I think one of the most important things that we should do is think before doing something. Think before keeping or disposing. Ask yourself, am I setting a boundary here? Have I reached that limit? Or am I just, you know, dodging my growth? Am I just saying, it's more comfortable this way? Think. Are you buying this phone because you really need it? That your phone is broken? That your phone does not meet your needs? It's slow enough that it's not working anymore? Or is it because there is another model that is higher than this one?
I have to keep the luxury.
Exactly. Are you, God forbid, you're going towards divorce? Why are you divorcing? Are you divorcing this person because you have met the conclusion that this relationship is not going to work out?
Or because you're just being impatient?
Yeah, you're just being impatient. Can you repair this relationship? Can you repair the hearts of the people? That's extremely important. I think this is the first step. Think. Keep thinking before. And how many times, just like the story I mentioned about the tissue papers, we just, without thinking, subconsciously, we just pick the tissue papers from that, you know, damn roll, and we just use it, and we just throw away the papers just because they're wet. My mother, now, remember, again, another story from the tissue papers. I can probably give you stories until the night. My mother, she would, whenever we use tissue papers, and they're not like dirty, just because we washed our hands, we want to dry them off, she would tell us to put it in a specific basket. We had a small basket in our kitchen counter. She would ask us to put it there. And then what she would do is, when it's there, it slowly kind of dries off, right? That tissue paper. She would reuse those tissue papers for what? For cleaning the countertops. Now imagine this culture. Tissue, they're very invaluable. You can easily buy them. What's the big thing about getting new tissue paper? But she would still reuse these papers although we were not in a poor family. You know, we had an abundance
For sure.
At least I can tell you for tissue papers, we had abundance of that. Maybe we might not have many other privileges that others might have.
But this is the Islamic culture that is teaching us.
Exactly. So before doing many of these actions, because we're not thinking about it. When we are, you know, scrolling these tissue papers in our hands, not because we don't want to do, we want to do it soft, it's because we're not thinking about them.
Right.
Think about it. Maybe take one step. When you're upgrading something, your vehicle, your home, think about it. Is this necessary? Is this going to really bring you growth in life? Or is it just because of for the sake of upgrading? The previous thing you're throwing away.
Yeah, just I think these questions will stop and avoid many of the stuff that we can see today.
I can remember.
Once we start thinking and rethinking
exactly.
The way we're living.
I can remember I had a neighbor, right? He was upgrading his fridge. And his fridge, by the way, was a big fridge. And he was upgrading to a double door fridge. And he was an elderly person, and we were just talking casually. And then I asked him, why are you upgrading? And he was like, you know what? I never really give a thought. I'm just upgrading. He didn't even think about upgrading. Exactly. So I think it's important thinking. And the second step is maybe see if you can repair those things, whether it be a person or a thing. If it's an object, see if you can fix it, if you can reuse it, or even donate it. Maybe it's a very common phrase, proverb, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You might not find value in what you have, but someone else might use it and make something valuable out of it.
Yeah,
see if you can donate it.
This is really helpful. I mean, I usually, because I have to go to different workplaces, I buy lots of clothes. Until I was younger, I had this problem with my parents that they were always asking me, why do you keep lots of clothes? Why do you buy a lot? And then I started from sometime, like from a few years ago, to start donating the ones that I don't, like I had lots of clothes that I wouldn't even wear them. I bought them, then I came home, I regret it, so I just put them away. So this donation, this idea, if you're young, you want to buy lots of things, maybe you have a favorite thing, be it watch, I don't know, whatever thing, clothes, books even, the things that you love, and you go buy them a lot, though you have to be thinking about them. But if you have this habit, this tendency, you love to buy something, then keep thinking of donation.
Yeah.
What if another person can be benefited from it?
And these are about objects. What about people? Talk, clarify, give them a chance. Your parent, your child does something wrong, give it a chance. Your spouse does something wrong, give it a chance. Give him or her a chance. Maybe they might improve. Your parent, your parents, right? They do something wrong. Talk and clarify. Don't be aggressive and be like, I'm not going to come back to your home anymore.
Sometimes even just listen to them.
Sit on a dinner table and talk together about something, about life, man. It's much bigger than that.
Yeah.
God Almighty is not asking you to debate with your family about your religious affairs. Sit down and have a dinner with them. Have a lunch with them. At least you can keep this much of a relationship together. Online, don't argue just to win. This is a very important thing. You don't need to press your thoughts to someone until they accept it. If you think they're not accepting, if you think they're stubborn enough, fine, move on.
And there's no end to this kind of discussion.
Exactly. Be slow to delete human beings. Don't be, okay, this guy is like that, I'm just move on. I don't like it. No. Think about it. And I think these are, you know, maybe maturity is knowing what to let go of quickly and what deserves repair.
Exactly.
I think this is maturity. And I believe I've had a lot of experience in this arena, both positive and negative. And well, experiences are just experiences, but they have given me lessons. And from disposable culture, and I'm one of the persons who was brought up in a disposable culture. And drawing these boundary lines is, I think, extremely important.
Well, with the wishes that this this disposable mindset, this throwaway culture, can be controlled in the minds of all our listeners and in the minds of young people around the world. Let's end today's episode. We wish you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And we round up this hour's programs with leaders' speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the honorable leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Allah, Allah. Allah 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 Allah
Ya Rabbi
Allah Allah
Ya Rabbi
Allah Allah الصبح بعد من
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel carries out fresh attacks in Gaza in violation of a ceasefire, and while the Palestinian territory is reeling from a humanitarian crisis. The UK unemployment rate has risen above 5%, with young Brits bearing the brunt of job cuts. And U.S. President Donald Trump sues BBC over edited clips of a speech that he made back in January of 2021. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News. Our top story: repeated Israeli violations and harsh humanitarian conditions. This is a summary of what Palestinians are enduring in Gaza, where a ceasefire was supposed to put an end to regime's attacks. Israeli forces have shelled locations near the Al Buraj refugee camp in central Gaza. Fresh airstrikes hit Gaza City's Al Tufa district as well. Attacks come as Gaza saw heavy rains once again, while still reeling from the consequences of Storm Byron, which battered the strip for days. According to Gaza's self-defense, 90% of tents have been completely flooded in Gaza City's